Howdy, friends, and welcome into another podcast on TCU Horned Frogs on SI. The show is called Gridiron Frogs. We are the Gridiron Frogs. I'm Nolan Ruth, or just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, who hosts every podcast we have. So welcome, JD, into another episode of Gridiron Frogs. This is episode 17 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. It's Wednesday, the 16th of October. This one's coming a little later than we usually would. Personal stuff for me. I apologize for that. Later in the day as well as JD would like. JD, I apologize to you for that. It is 10:15 p.m. at the time of this recording. And yeah, I apologize to everybody. This is all on me. Now, JD, we always start the show with a question that I give you, and everybody can tell who at least watches this show instead of listening that I'm decked out in Dodger blue. We have four baseball teams remaining. Be honest and don't try to put your hatred for me aside for a minute. Of the four, who are you really going for? Be honest.
Who am I really going for? That's tough because one of my buddies that I grew up with and played ball with, his dad is also one of the owners of the Dodgers. So personally, I do hope that they get to win for his sake, but that is not who I'm going with, unfortunately. I really don't care who wins. I just want the Mets versus the Yankees because a Subway Series World Series would be so much fun. I also just don't want a Dodgers-Yankees World Series because that's...
Come on! That's the number one World Series that everyone wants! What do you mean you don't want a Dodgers-Yankees World Series?
Ask most of the fans who don't have a team left. No one wants those two teams to play in the... Because then it goes back to, oh, look at all this money being spent and look at all these big media market teams. And it's like, who cares?
The Yankees have not been in a World Series since 2009. The last two times the Dodgers have been in the World Series, they played the Astros and the Rays. Come on. Like, we're due for one of these classic series of Yankees-Dodgers.
To be fair, technically, none of them are still better than the Rangers yet because none of them have been crowned champions. So technically, all I care about is that the Rangers are still the world champions.
I will not fight you on that. The Texas Rangers are still the defending World Series champions.
Yes,
for sure. For sure. Well, JD, it was a crazy time since our last show, especially for me wearing the crimson and cream. And sure, I'm going to have to defend myself here in the next 10 minutes or so about that game. But let's just talk about what went down this past week, especially with, before we go into previewing Utah, they've now lost back-to-back games against teams that they really shouldn't have lost to. What is going on in Salt Lake City? And we finally saw an appearance of Cam Rising, so we know he's alive and actually exists, which I'm going to plug this later. I'm going to be on ESPN Radio on Friday, and I'm going to tell them about our inside joke that we didn't know whether or not Cam Rising was actually a person. He's hurt again. Like, what is going on in college football right now?
College football is at an all-time best around the world, around the country.
I agree. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love
minus
it.
Minus the fact that Texas is number one. I could live without that. But other than that,
I'm going to get into that in a minute.
I think college football is kind of, you know, a lot of people talked about the doom and gloom of NIL and what would happen with it, whatever. But then there were also people who, myself included, Barry on the staff, Carson even talked about it, is that NIL presents the opportunity for parity in college football because you'll get players who could go to Bama and get this development. But it's like, why do that when I can go play at, like, you know, Oklahoma State and get $200,000 for the year? Like, it creates a bit of a parity that's, you know, kind of cascading through the sport as a whole right now that we're finally starting to see shape up. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see a lot more parity coming soon. And you know, it has its good and its bad, right? Like Ohio State, Oregon was this weekend. That's the two of the most expensive college football rosters, and it was a phenomenal game. Like
Fantastic game.
that's what you
Yep.
get from that. But then you also get teams like Vanderbilt, who had Diego Pavia, who they gave him the money, and you see what he's able to do. Like it's whenever you invest, you know, if you hit a, it's literally real world stock investment. You can put money in one player and hope it shoots up, or sprinkle a little bit of money everywhere and hope it all works out, you know? And I think we're seeing a really, really good state of college football right now. Minus the officials still, they're pretty awful, and they will continue to be awful because we allow conferences to dictate their officials, not a governing body. Not that
That
the
was going to be my
NCAA,
point.
not that the
Yep.
NCAA would do a good job as a governing body anyways, because we see how that goes, but still, I think I'm really excited about every single weekend is a great weekend. You don't know what to expect anymore.
Yeah, and this weekend was one of those weekends that just plug it goes right into your point. Let's start off in Tuscaloosa. I mean, the Crimson Tide almost lost their second conference game in a row. And you and I were in elementary school the last time that happened, if not toddlers the last time that happened. South Carolina almost pulls it off. That was the game on ABC that was right before Red River. And my dad and
Red
I were
River was
what
played this weekend.
we're gonna go into that, JD. We're gonna go into that. Bear with me. I will answer all the hate, I promise. But this was the game before. My dad and I are watching passionately, and we are literally talking about South Carolina being one block away. Had that tackle just made the block in the 2-point conversion, I mean, that receiver was wide open in the end zone, and that game's going to overtime.
One, we're two decent throws away from South Carolina winning that. Lenore Sellers quite
Yeah.
literally lived up to his last name and sold that game for South Carolina. Like it was.
Absolutely. And again, we're going to go into Red River in a minute, but South Carolina's coming to Norman, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of scared for my Sooners. Like that was exactly what the Gamecocks needed to do to get themselves on the national standing and to really, especially after the Alabama loss to Vanderbilt, that was exactly what the Gamecocks needed to do. And they went out, they almost finished it, but I still think the points has been proven. And I think that Alabama, like, you know, they were celebrating a win. Well, you have been exposed 2 weeks in a row. Even though you won this one, you were still exposed. And I think that Alabama's back to being human like they were in the early 2000s when you and I were just growing up.
Yeah, I think you're looking. I don't think that there is a juggernaut this year. I don't even think Texas is a juggernaut. To be fair, we really haven't seen Texas play anyone that great. And I'm not even trying to be like anti-Texas. Like their best win is Louisiana Monroe, based off record and you know achievement so far. So like this is a big week for them against Georgia. You know, you should be scared of South Carolina because they're capable of scoring more than 10 points, which is Oklahoma's kryptonite right now. Anyways, yeah, I think anyone who's an Alabama fan and doubts Kalen DeBoer, please get rid of him and tell him to come to TCU if you have a problem with him.
Okay, let's hold off on that till we get to the actual TCU talk. I like where you're going though. Let's move to the Big Ten. Penn State needed overtime to survive USC. And look, I don't like Lincoln Riley. And really, he's running the Trojans into the ground. But Penn State being this highly ranked, and we've thought all season long that this could be the Nittany Lions year. Does this kind of waver your opinion on Penn State, the fact they needed overtime to beat USC? Granted, it was on the road.
No, in fact, it actually strengthens my belief that Penn State might be a little bit different this year. When Penn State teams are down, when James Franklin led Penn State teams are down, they don't make comebacks. They don't show that fight. Who cares? No one's talking about your inability to believe in Georgia after they were down by 28 points to Alabama but made it close. No one talks about that. They talked about, hey, you know what? They almost brought that back to win. Well, Penn State did bring it back to win. They did that on the road. So I think if anything, it actually I really, really like that win from Penn State. Do I think that this is the year that they finally win the Big Ten? Absolutely not. I just don't think that. I mean, I say that Oregon looked really good, and Ohio State has Will Howard, who was. Anyways, I still really like Penn State, and I'm hoping that James Franklin puts it together this year, but the confidence isn't there.
Two more overtime games. Tennessee needed overtime to beat Florida. Are you concerned about the Volunteers at all?
Yes, but I'm not concerned about them as much. I'm more, I think they were looking ahead to Alabama more than
Probably.
I'm concerned with how their capabilities are of a team.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're coming off 2 weeks ago the win at Oklahoma. You're riding high. You got the game against Alabama coming up. I completely agree with you. I think they might have just had their mindset anywhere else but the Gators. I completely agree. And then we hinted at Oregon and Ohio State. We won't spend much more time on that. But LSU needed overtime to beat Ole Miss, and that one is probably the one game I think really deserved an overtime finish. We're talking about two solid teams in the SEC this year. The Tigers come out on top in Death Valley.
Got a
I mean,
question,
what?
Nolan.
Go ahead.
Is Lane Kiffin the James Franklin of the SEC?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Does that
And
mean Lane Kiffin's a bad coach? Absolutely not. In fact, it
no,
means
no, no,
he's
no,
a
not
great
at
coach.
all. Yeah. But I do not see him winning the SEC or a national championship at his time at Ole Miss. Or really, he can go anywhere else. I really don't. Look, I love Lane Kiffin. I was
Anywhere else?
don't give me that look. No,
Anywhere else?
I really no, I don't believe it. I really he can go anywhere else. I just don't believe it. He's a good coach, but I just do not see it. Now, if he went to let's just take Texas, right? Okay, I'm about to have to swallow my pride and talk about how great Texas is in a second. If some weird way a meteor strikes the athletic department at Texas and Steve Sarkisian dies and Texas hires away Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss, with the roster and the program that Steve Sarkisian has built, I don't see Lane Kiffin winning with Texas. Okay, I think he's a great coach. I don't think he's a national champion coach. Lane, prove me wrong.
I got a slight conversation real quick. I want to sidebar this is
Okay, go ahead.
what about when Lane Kiffin wins a national championship at Ohio State in 2 years? Then how will you feel?
Okay, that's a bold prediction, and I like it. But again, he's going to be riding the coattails of another coach, and he's not going to have built it
It doesn't
himself.
matter. His offenses will put up 100 points a
Yeah,
game.
but yeah, then he's going to drive the Buckeyes right into the ground. They're not going to beat Michigan again for years, let
Okay,
alone
fine. He's going to go to
Sparty's
Oklahoma after
otherwise.
Venables is fired that this season.
Don't you dare put that curse on the Oklahoma Sooners. All right, you provoked it. It's time because we got to get the show moving. But yes, I've got to answer this, okay? I actually lost money on this game because I bet Texas was going to win by 33. If it weren't for Bert Auburn missing a field goal in the first quarter, I would have made a lot of money. I ended up losing money on this game. Look, OU doesn't have an offense. I knew that going into that game. The opening drive was fantastic. You create the turnover. Quinn Ewers looked like, put your hand down, give me a second. Quinn Ewers looked like crap coming out. That was to be expected. He was hurt. He was coming off injury. And as soon as he settled down, he got right back into his rhythm. That was exactly what I expected. I did not expect to see Arch Manning. A lot of people were texting me saying they did. I didn't think so with Ewers being hurt and missing as much time as he did. I don't care what the score would have been. They wanted Ewers to get the reps. OU was no offense. They were not going to find the end zone. I will fully admit that. There's a reason I bet on Texas to win by 33. OU's got a lot to figure out. However, I will say the defense kept him into it because that game could have been a lot worse if it weren't for OU's defense. That game could have been 56 to nothing if we're really being honest here. But I was ready for that. Send all the hate. I was ready for that. Texas, congratulations on the Golden Hat. We'll get you next year.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
How many points would this Oklahoma offense score against the TCU defense?
Six.
Really?
Yeah. We would stall at the 25-yard line and kick two field goals.
Joke's on you. Gonna have six 60-yard
I mean,
rushes.
dude, look, I want to believe in Michael Hawkins. I really do. I got to see him in high school at Frisco Emerson. I wanted to believe in Jackson Arnold. But yeah, some man, look, Venables is a defensive mind, and I understood that. And I'm happy with how good OU's defense is right now. But I really, shoot. You know what? I'm gonna say it. I don't like Seth Luttrell. I want Luttrell fired. I didn't like him when he was the head coach at UNT. I don't like him as the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. I want him fired. His play calling, JD, you and I talk about it with TCU. It is third and 23. There is no reason you need to be running an underneath wide receiver screen that's going to pick up a yard at best to set up a punt when you're playing your arch rival, who is number one in the nation and probably going to cruise to a national championship. They're my pick anyway to do it. Yeah, I don't like Seth Luttrell. All right, I've gotten that piece out. I've had my rant. Let's move on to another hot take I have real quick because based on recent events, I have changed my Big 12 championship prediction, and it is not the two teams that are ranked highest right now.
Oh, you're gonna do this right now?
I'm going to do this right now, JD,
I
and
know
I want to
exactly
know
what you're
your.
gonna say.
The first week in Arlington at AT&T Stadium for the Big 12 championship, the Texas Tech Red Raiders are going to face off with the Arizona State Sun Devils. Bear with me. These two teams have shot my expectations out of the damn water. Tech beat Arizona, who I did not even think was a winnable game. They've already beaten Arizona State, which was a close one. They beat Cincinnati. They got Baylor left. They got TCU left. And I hate to say it on the Killer Frogs podcast, but I just do not see the Frogs beating the Raiders. Their toughest test remaining is Iowa State. I don't believe in Oklahoma State anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
I've never believed in Colorado. West Virginia, they're really, really not meeting the expectations I had. I see no way Texas Tech can't get to Arlington. It all comes down to the Iowa State game. They have to be Iowa State, but I think they can. I mean, this conference is so crazy. And then Arizona State, let's see who they got left. They just beat Utah. They've got Cincinnati, who's already been beaten by Tech. Cincinnati, I don't think is that good. They got Oklahoma State. Again, just don't think the Cowboys are that good. UCF might be the problem here, but then they got Kansas State and BYU. But the way they played Utah this past week, especially defensively, I really don't know what BYU is going to have as an answer to that defense, nor Kansas State. And I was high on Kansas State to begin the year. And then they finished the year, obviously, with their arch rival in Arizona. But I truly think if not both of them, if it's not Tech and Arizona State, at least one of them is going to make it. I'll put my money on Tech to be the one. But there's a good chance that in Arlington come December, it is the Sun Devils and the Red Raiders.
You make me sick. Do you feel better now? Because
Much, yeah,
I want to
actually.
throw up.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
First of all,
What do you got for me?
I would much rather BYU make the Big 12 championship and win it than even see Texas Tech competing in it.
This isn't about what we would rather see. I'm going on ESPN radio on Friday, okay? This isn't about what I'd rather see, all right? I'm making a bold prediction. I'm going to say this on ESPN radio, Salt Lake City, on Friday, by the way, as I leave. Bold prediction, Arizona State, Texas Tech.
Are you saying Texas Tech will win the rest of their schedule up?
I think Texas Tech has the better chance than Arizona State, but
So
yeah, I can see it.
you're predicting that Texas Tech will have their first ever 10-win season in school history?
Who do you see them beating? Are losing to, rather, I should
It's not
say.
a matter of
Other
who I
than
see
Iowa
them.
State.
It's not a matter of who I see them losing to. It's a matter of the fact that Texas Tech has always and will always struggle in November. It is where they struggle the most. They start to have health issues. They start to break down. We saw it happen in the first few weeks of the season. It always happens in the last few weeks of the season. Tech does this every year. They figure it out halfway through the season, start to look a little bit better, and then they fold.
See, but you're banking on a tradition that you have created in your own mind,
No, it is
because
it's a proven history.
it, and you know what? It that may be how history goes, but you know how history looked at the Texas Rangers last October?
And you know what the history taught us? It always repeats itself.
It? The
One
Rangers won the damn World Series.
Rangers have lost 66% of the World Series they played in still.
Okay,
So they're
statistics
more than
champion.
likely not to win the World Series. So I'm saying,
But
I
we got
don't
that
think
one.
so.
Hey, that's one out of 3 times. All right. And so finally, I no, you know what? No, I'm sticking to it. This is to look, I'm not saying they're gonna win the Big 12. I'm not, if they go to Arlington, they may choke. I think that the Red Raiders probably have one of the best chances to be in Arlington. I would say I definitely like them over BYU's remaining schedule,
You're going
but
to see a weird thing happen with the Big 12 championship. You're
okay.
going to see two teams play each other in back-to-back weeks. It's going to be Iowa State and Kansas State rematch in the they played the last game of the season. And then they're going to rematch in the Big 12 championship.
Okay,
Kansas
so
State,
who does BYU lose to?
Utah.
Okay. All right, I can see it. I can
It's
definitely
a
see it.
yeah, it's BYU struggles in that rivalry game.
No, I can see it. I can definitely see that. No, I'm making a bold prediction though. Had we had this conversation on August 31st, excuse me, or September 1st, the day after Texas Tech had to go to overtime with Abilene Christian, I would have told you to take the pistol out of my cabinet and put it in the back of my head, execution style. Because I'm crazy and there's no redeeming me. But now, the uptrend that the Red Raiders are on, look, I could be wrong about the prediction, and I will, you know, I'm wrong 80% of the time. It's what I'm paid to do, actually. I'm going to say, do not sleep on a Sun Devils Red Raiders Big 12 championship. And if I'm wrong on one of those teams, it's going to be Arizona State. I think Texas Tech has the better chance of the two of them. And I fully expect the Red Raiders to be in Arlington.
You're telling me Arizona State's going to run the table the rest of the way on their schedule?
Again, that's why I said Tech probably has the better chance. I can see it, but I'm not going to put money on it.
I still think Tech loses three more games on their schedule.
Okay, who you got? Baylor, TCU, Iowa State, Colorado, West Virginia, Oklahoma State.
They lose three straight. TCU, Iowa State, Colorado.
You really think? Look, I know this is a Killer Frogs podcast. You really think we're going to beat Texas Tech?
Again, and it's gonna make you mad. Have you looked at the numbers of Texas Tech when they play in Fort Worth? TCU
You're going
historically
on
placed
history.
histories are history for a
Dude,
reason. We learn it.
If I went on history, oh, you would have gotten the last laugh in Bedlam against Oklahoma State. Instead, those Cowboys are still laughing at me from
That's just the
Stillwater.
football god smiling down on OU
Yeah,
leaving.
whatever. Whatever. No,
Anyways,
no, no. No.
TCU,
Don't give me
look,
that.
we're about to dive into the game. TCU is coming out of a bye week. They're playing a Utah team that is banged up right now. If there is a chance to turn around the season, you win this week and you beat a red hot Texas Tech team, it's possible.
Yeah, well, not with the change at depth chart at running back. So let's go ahead and dive into TCU Utah while you're on it. I could sense through text message how mad you were about that depth chart change. Why don't you go ahead? You take this. I mean, because to me, this was a really, I'm not afraid to say it. This was a really, really stupid move by the coaching staff to change up the offense the way they did.
So TCU released their depth chart this week, going into the Utah game after the bye week. They got a few players back who we're excited about. We'll talk about here shortly. But the biggest and notable change was the fact that at running back, they switched it up. So we saw the last time TCU played, Jeremy Payne got his first ever collegiate start, proceeded to not be used for more than six carries throughout the game, but did get his first collegiate start. Sonny Dykes had praised him the previous weeks before, talked about how they're excited to get him more carries. And then the depth chart comes out this week and Jeremy Payne isn't starting. Okay, that's cool. Cam Cook's back starting. Oh, Trey Sanders is second string? You mean the Trey Sanders who has barely gotten any carries is actually last in carries out of the four running backs on the team right now? Oh, you mean he's not third string either? Dominique Johnson is? Well, where's Jeremy Payne? Yeah, he's slotted in at the fourth string. You're going to tell me your running back who you've been excited for, who you've been trying to get more carries, who you didn't use a lot during the Houston game, has now fallen to fourth string? Why? Nolan, why?
And
Like
we
the
talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like this, he should be your number one running back, without a doubt.
only thing I can think of is if you are punting on the rest of the season and just don't want him to get hurt. But
At this point, that might be what we're doing.
I don't. I'm not going to throw a big fit about the depth chart because TCU rotates their ball carriers. So maybe it's just like one of those where he's just slotted in at the fourth, but he might end up getting the most carries.
See, but we didn't do that in the last game. We did not spread the ball around. We had a solid game plan that I fully blame Kendall Briles for.
Did you say TCU had a game plan against Houston?
No, you're right. There was no game plan. Kendall Briles, I'm convinced, just improvised as soon as he took the field. No, that was it was terrible. We did not spread the ball around, you know, and if we had done that, then maybe we would be having a different conversation. Maybe the reaction podcast from that week would have been different. But instead, here we are talking about the really idiotic mistakes. You know, I can talk a lot about firings. I brought up OU Seth Luttrell. There's a lot of Dallas Cowboy firings I'd like to see this week. And you know what? I'm tired of Briles. I really am. I mean, Briles is no better than Seth Luttrell at OU. You were laughing at me when I was talking about OU's wide receiver screens, because that's exactly what Kendall Briles does. And now you're going to take your best running back and drop him down to the fourth spot in the depth chart. You know, for a long time, we were talking about spreading the ball around, offense by committee. You know, Eric McAllister, what, like, how many times he touched the ball in that game against Houston? Once?
He only lagged or only logged one stat from the Houston game, and it was a tackle.
Seriously, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm at a loss for words, but I can't believe Payne has dropped down to fourth spot. McAllister only got one touch, and that was on a tackle. You know, look, I know JoJo Earl hasn't panned out the way we want it to, but I mean, at least get him involved some way because he's fast. You have so many weapons, and this offense just Kendall Briles just doesn't want to do it. And it's getting infuriating. I was watching you in the press box the entire time during the SMU game. I mean, your cup of water was getting hot. You were steaming so much. Like it was that bad. And do we really expect that we're going to compete? Look, we have how many games left? Do we really
Six.
expect to make a bowl game? I mean, at best, we're looking at going to Shreveport in the third week of December. This is bad, and we need this Utah game. Now, thankfully, Utah's coming off two bad losses. So, is this kind of the best time for us to face them? Or are the Utes pissed off enough to make this the bounce back game and humiliate us? On shoot, this is a 9 o'clock kick. What channel's it
Nine
gonna be on?
9:30.
9:30. What channel's it gonna be on? Like this, yeah. This is. I hate to say it. This is not
It's
gonna
on
be the one to
ESPN.
watch. ESPN. Okay, 9:30 on ESPN. So, basically, the Pac-12 after dark kickoff time, which
Look.
is, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. I've rambled. Go ahead.
Look. I don't know, and I want to ask you this before I go into it, is do you think it's a It plays into TCU strengths or away from that Cam Rising isn't playing in this game.
I'm actually glad you asked. So, a lot of people know Carson, who writes for us, and he put in our chat a very interesting thing that it actually hurts us that he's not playing. Because the first time we've seen him in a year and a half, he looked awful against Arizona State. I mean, just terrible. And he's already hurt again. I think it would have been a lot better for us to have seen Cam Rising than whoever they're going to throw out at quarterback this week. I don't think that plays into our favor. They've had plenty of weeks preparation with, shoot, I don't even have his name off the top of my head at the moment, but
Isaac Wilson.
Isaac Wilson, thank you.
Zach
But
Wilson's younger brother.
yeah. So look, Utah has been sitting all year, week by week, saying that Cam Rising might be back. It's a game time decision. He's questionable, whatever. And he finally takes the field this year. He looks horrible and gets hurt again. So I think it's going to be Wilson. And honestly, I think that hurts TCU because Wilson's had the time and experience with this offense in a live setting to do it. Now, has he looked great? No. Take the Arizona game as an example. But I would rather face Cam Rising than I would Wilson.
So I've done all of Isaac Wilson's stats, whatever. He averages around 270 pass yards in the three games that he has started, but he hasn't looked good through them.
No, he hasn't.
A lot of them have been yak yards after catch yardage. So
But how good has TCU's defense been against the pass?
really good, but a misleading really good because no one passes on them.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Utah has over 1,000 rush yards, averaging 4.5 yards per rush attempt, which isn't the world's greatest. But what will be the ultimate deciding factor of this game, and this game will come down to, is that Utah has only converted third downs 34% of the time this season, which is really bad. But TCU's defense is giving up third down conversions at a 48% rate, nearly
Which
half
is
the
really bad.
time. Nearly half the time, opposing offenses are converting on third down. Even though, and this is the shocking part, even though their average third down to go is 8.3 yards. So it'll come down to, and it's going to come down to the same thing that I have tweeted every single week when the game starts. Can TCU get off the field on third down? Because you see what happens when they get off the field on third down. You saw it against Stanford after the first few drives. You saw it against Kansas. They started getting off the field on third down. You saw it in the second half of the SMU game. Like you see when this defense can, because this defense is phenomenal at first and second down stops. Third downs are where they're losing their money.
It's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure. We've spent a good deal talking about it, some Big 12 football and some other football as well. JD, I'm actually going to flip the script real quick. Why don't you go ahead and plug? We've got another sport starting up. And you've got another show that you're going to start doing. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people about that real quick?
Yes, so football season is fast approaching. November 1st, women's basketball starts a week after men's basketball starts. The TCU men's basketball, I don't think they I need to look it up. And I'm sorry, Nick, when you're listening, but I don't remember the name for the men's basketball pod, but it is led by Nick and Davis, two genius minds when it comes to basketball. I am not the biggest men's basketball aficionado. But those two will be leading the men's basketball podcast. They're back for the second year. They're going to have some great guests on to start the season. If you go to Nick's Twitter, I believe it's at Nick Garamanti, he has tweets up asking for people for questions so they can discuss it on the pod. And then starting this year, me and fellow writer on the staff, Tori Couch, will be leading the women's basketball podcast. We will be doing every other week during non-conference and then weekly during the conference. So if you're looking for HVL news, you're looking for Madison Connor news, Sedona Prince, you just want to know what's happening around women's basketball because you're just getting into it, tune in. First episode will probably be out in about 2 weeks, and it's a lot. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to basketball. Men's basketball is going to be a lot of rebuilding this year, but should be fun. And women's basketball, I mean, they received 30 first place or 30 votes be in the top 25 but didn't crack it. So it could be a special season of Fort Worth for it.
We definitely need something special in Fort Worth. It's been a hard year for most DFW sports teams. Before we go into our final segment, which is JD's favorite, and he's been itching to get this one done, I have one more thing to plug. On Friday at 1 o'clock, I will be joining ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City to preview TCU Utah. Probably going to say a lot the same that was already said in this show, but maybe a little things different. Depends on what the host asked me on that show. But if you want to tune in, that'll be 1 o'clock Central Time, noon Mountain Time. So noon for them is the official text I got. But 1 o'clock Central Time on Friday, ESPN 700 in Utah should be a pretty easy link to find if you want to listen in. And I'll be previewing Saturday's game for the Utah ESPN station. JD, you've been waiting for this. You've got 90 seconds. What? Can you give us a preview? What are you gonna be complaining about this week?
I'm going to be complaining about the fact that no one's talking about a certain player enough.
I like it. That's a good tease. Here we go. 90 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go, JD.
So there's a certain player. He plays on TCU actually, and I kind of want to talk about him a little bit. His name's Josh Hoover. He's quarterback. Name ring a bell? We talked about him on the last podcast. I talked about maybe it's time to shut him down, Nolan, right? Yeah. So did a little bit of my weekly deep dive because TCU's back on the schedule this week. Josh Hoover, despite having a bye week, is still fifth in the country in passing yards at 2007. That's in the first half of the season. So, first half of the season, second half of the season, you take what he's done in the first half, take the projection for the second half. He's thrown for over 4,000 pass yards this season. You know how many other his players in TCU history have thrown for over 4,000 yards? I'll give you a hint. It's zero. He could be the first ever TCU player to throw for over 4,000 yards, breaking the record for the single season pass record that was set by Trayvon Boykin in 2014, breaking Max Duggan's record from 2022. He is nowhere getting nowhere near the recognition he get. Don't get me wrong. He's had some really bad turnovers. But is he the reason for TCU's losses? No. Is he, in fact, partially the reason that TCU has won more games than they should have and is in games that they shouldn't be? Absolutely. I think that he's not getting the national recognition he deserves, and let alone he's barely even getting local recognition. I just think that Josh Hoover is playing up to his abilities and can be even better because you have to remember he's only a sophomore. He's only played 12 games worth.
Perfect. You ended. I think you got your final point in there before the fight song started. Good job. I need to actually get like a fight song plug so we can hear it without me putting it on my phone through a microphone, because I don't know how that sounded on your end, but it couldn't have been good.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, good. Actually, I would rather you not hear it than for it to be deafening our listeners. Well, Frog fans, that's going to do it for the 17th episode of the Gridiron Frogs podcast. We are the Gridiron Frogs, Nolan Ruth and JD Andrus. You can call me just Nolan because you can't handle the Ruth. JD Andrus, who hosts every single show we had, including now women's basketball, apparently. Thank you for tuning in to this show as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI, listening, watching, however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week with another great show. And until then, for JD and everyone at Killer Frogs, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.
One last thing. We wish you a lot of luck Friday on ESPN, Nolan.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And go Dodgers.